We celebrate the new feast. In fact, very new. This is the first time it's being celebrated as a national feast. Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, Señor Jesús Nazareno. Although I saw recently that they want to call it Poong Jesús Nazareno. But the official in the document we have is Señor Jesús Nazareno. Maybe Poong is, that's Tagalog? Tagalog? Since it's a new feast, I think it's worth taking a little time reflecting on, in addition to the devotion itself, how something like this impacts the wider church and how it enters into the liturgical life. First of all, I think it's everyone in the Philippines knows that it's centered on the image of Jesus carrying the cross, the statue that is enshrined in the church or the basilica in Quiapo. The image is a dark figure, that's why he's called Black Nazarene, and he's down on one knee, the cross is on his shoulder, and is it on one knee or two knees? You can't tell, he's got this robe, I think he's on one knee, and one foot is sticking out the back, and that's what people touch, is the foot, but he's wearing this very high quality purple or reddish vestment. What would you call it? Maroon? A maroon vestment with gold trim. Clearly a royal vestment. So it's an image of the suffering Christ, who is also the Christ the King. It's an image that comes from Spanish piety, and also about the same period of time when the Santo Niño became popular, and which is also an image of, not of suffering Christ, but of the royal Christ as a child. So the images which are in some ways reflections on the life of Christ, but from the perspective of the resurrection. Because after Jesus rose and entered into glory, his earthly life is seen through the lens of glory and of power and of victory. So the Nazareno is, yes, a suffering figure, but also a victorious figure, a victim who is not victimized, right? A sufferer who is not defeated by suffering. Now, this is an enormously popular devotion in Quiapo on January 9th. And ever since I've been in the Philippines, it's been the subject of some discussion because there are a lot of superstitions associated with the image and with how to honor it. And whether touching it, and there's miraculous events associated with it, but there's also a lot of strange behavior, and a lot of the devotees, that it's their only expression of faith. They don't go to Mass, they don't receive the sacraments, they're not really participating in the life of the church as the church understands it, but it is their way of their connection to Jesus Christ. So it's debated because it's obviously a popular devotion, and it's Jesus Christ at the center of it, so you can hardly be against it, but it does it lead people into communion with him and into the fullness of the life of the church? Does it lead people to holiness? That's where there's some debate, because if it's superstition, well then no, we don't grow in holiness if we're putting our trust in something other than Jesus Christ himself. But we do grow in holiness if we put our trust in him. So there's a lot of discussion about this, and you probably know it better than I do. What is, I think, the adjustment we have to make now is that suddenly this devotion, which is localized, is suddenly a national feast. Now, we who follow the liturgical life might say, well, how did this suddenly become part of the liturgical life? It was a decision of the bishops. It must have been approved by the Vatican. And now this is the first year it's being done. Is it a problem that it's in the Christmas season? I mean, not really, because we know from the very second day of Christmas, Feast of St. Stephen, that the Christmas season is not only about the baby Jesus and about happy moments. The Christmas season is the arrival of the Savior. So to have the Savior before our eyes in his passion is not a violation of Christmas. It's a little bit jarring, but it's not anything wrong. It's something like when we have the Feast of the Annunciation in the middle of Lent. Well, that's okay, because why was Jesus conceived? In order to give himself in sacrifice. So that's not the problem. I think more of the difficulty, at least this is how I experience it, is why is this suddenly an obligation on the whole country? I don't know if this is that popular a devotion anywhere other than in Quiapo, because there's no image of Jesus Nazareno in this parish. Is there one in Philam? There is one. I think what might happen, there's none here. I mean, we don't have one in the chapel. So I think all of a sudden, any place that doesn't have an image is suddenly caught unprepared. Also, there's no liturgy for the feast. They just told us, use the liturgy for the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, September 14. Exactly the same liturgy. Exact same readings, prayers, psalm, everything. The only difference is the title. And I find that the readings are not about Jesus carrying the cross. It's Jesus lifted up on the cross. So it's not, I think it, I, my sense is that the feast needs to develop. And it seems to be suddenly imposed. Now, I could be completely wrong. I mean, I'm not a bishop. I don't know what's going on in the whole country. And this is how liturgy works. My point in mentioning it this way is that liturgy is not just a human construct. It's not in the hands of some committee of liturgists. Liturgy is the prayer of the church, and it has an organic quality to it. So it grows, and it also can sometimes has to be pruned. So it's not that it never changes. It's not that we never have changes in feast days, or we can add or subtract, but it doesn't happen arbitrarily or suddenly or simply by the imposition, like now we have to have this feast. Well, it's a great devotion, it's a great feast, but why is it all of a sudden an obligation? Couldn't it have been maybe a feast in the Archdiocese of Manila, or an optional memorial, or a memorial, or like, and maybe give time for the church to develop, to ponder the devotion and come up with readings that are more closely associated with Jesus carrying the cross, like a passage is about the suffering servant, for one, the obvious case, more than this one from the Book of Numbers. So I just have this feeling like it's kind of forced. It's not quite as bad as the Feast of Jesus the High Priest, which was forced on us a couple of years ago on the Thursday after Pentecost, which came out of the blue and no one even knows why it suddenly appeared on the calendar. This one at least has roots in a very deep and ancient Filipino devotion. But still, liturgy, my point is, at least I get this from Pope Benedict XVI, who has a lot to say about how the liturgy works. It can't or shouldn't be manipulated. It shouldn't be forced. It should grow. It should grow in the hearts of the people and be guided by the bishops and by the Holy Father. So it's a kind of a natural thing. It's not forced. You can't force a plant to grow, because what happens is you might end up damaging the plant. So now, like I said, I maybe this is such a popular devotion that everyone will welcome it as a feast everywhere in the country. But that's not my sense of it, because it's nothing like the devotion to Our Mother of Perpetual Help, which is in every single parish that I've seen in the Philippines. And there's no feast day for that devotion. So why this suddenly became a feast day is a bit of a mystery to me. Anyway, but since we have it, let's celebrate it and ponder Jesus' suffering. In some ways, it can be connected to the season that we're in. We're in the latter part of the Christmas season, between the Epiphany and the baptism. And Jesus, if we want to think of Jesus on the cross, which is what the readings make us think about, Jesus lifted up. When Jesus is lifted up on the cross, his heart is pierced with the lance, and what flows out is blood and water, which is a very good image to recall in preparation for the Feast of the Baptism, because the water flowing from the side of Christ is symbolic of the sacrament of baptism, which we receive. We are the beneficiaries of the suffering of Christ. And so this image of Jesus Nazareno reminds us that he's doing this for us. He, this royal figure, suffering for our sake. And that's a good thing to ponder any day of the week. Also, and this is, I think, part of the reason why the devotion is popular, it's a reminder to us of our own perseverance in suffering. This is even mentioned in the little note that the Animal Way printed. The Black Nazarene represents Christ's perseverance in suffering. Through the centuries, it has become a symbol of the Filipino people's enduring faith and hope in the face of suffering. That is a beautiful thing. And if the image gives people the interior strength to persevere in suffering, well, that's very good fruit. We can judge a tree by its fruit. I don't know many people who have that much devotion to the image, but that's maybe my limitation. But it is, it's an important thing because we need to draw on the strength of Christ when we are weak. We need a way to receive strength. I'd like to connect this image, especially since this is the first time we're celebrating it in the whole nation, and because this is also the Jubilee year, I'd like to connect it to the theme of the Jubilee year, which is Pilgrims of Hope. Pilgrims of Hope is an idea of persevering on the journey with hope. And you could say the Nazareno is a pilgrim of hope. He's carrying the cross. He knows he's going to offer himself and sacrifice on the cross. But he's not depressed, defeated, hopeless. He has a very noble goal involved here. He's going to lay down his life for the salvation of all of us. And after he dies and is buried, rise again. And he knows it. He said it so many times to his own disciples. On the third day, he's going to rise again. So it's a very hopeful image. So to have hope when we're suffering is a very precious treasure. To be a pilgrim, not just a pilgrim, a suffering person, but a suffering person who has hope, which is the theme of this Jubilee year. And I think today's feast can also be connected to that. So as we celebrate the feast of Señor Jesús Nazareno in the Jubilee year 2025, as we celebrate the Traslación, I mean, this is not just a feast of a static image, but of an image that moves. You know? The Traslación is a pilgrimage. It's like every procession, a pilgrimage. So this whole year is our pilgrimage, following Jesus, suffering with Jesus, receiving strength from Jesus with hope. So that's just a few reflections on the feast day, at least for this year.